Well, howdy friends, greetings from Jerusalem. Today we are in one of the outskirts of Jerusalem, in a really cool area actually. Just had a really great meal. I'm sitting here having a cup of Turkish coffee. The trick is to not drink too much, because all of the grind is still in it, but it's really good. We went to Mount Herzl. Where Theodor Herzl, the kind of founder of Zionism, is buried, and actually listened to some really moving testimonies from people who died, widows and parents of people who died on October the 7th. Some really powerful things there. There's one guy who we drove yesterday to the area where the initial attack took place, and it's interesting, all along the road there, maybe next to bus stops, you get these weird little shelters that are kind of missile shelters people go in. And when the attack took place, there were a whole bunch of people sheltering in one of these little missile shelter things they have alongside of the road. I think they're built to contain about 7 people. And apparently when the attack took place, at one stage there was something like 25 people hiding away in one of these things. And then Hamas found them, and Hamas just kept throwing grenades in. And there was a young soldier, I think just probably doing military service, who every time Hamas would throw a grenade in, he'd catch the live grenade, on a timer, and throw it back out at them. And I think, they literally had the recording with this guy caught about, I think it was like 7 or 8 grenades, but the last one, of course, went off and he died, and his father was speaking there, really powerful. And afterwards we went to Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Museum here in Jerusalem, and again, first time for me being in Israel, so first time going there, and it was kind of overwhelming in a way. It's sort of difficult to even take in after a while, and there's just so much you can only take in, and it was really sad, terrifying, but and yet all of these great stories of heroism as well. It's kind of cool, because as you go through, all of the terrible things that went on in Europe, and how people didn't react, and how they didn't respond, they didn't help them. But then near the end there was that really glorious bit which celebrated all of the people. Schindler's List, many of you have seen the movie, was literally the actual list, and lots of stories of people who did help. So we have a home in France, a little village called Chambon-sur-Lignon, and it was really great. There's a whole section about this actual village that hit, I think it saved about 5,000 Jewish kids during the war as well, so that was really cool to see. And and then we got to meet some pastor friends there from New England, literally in the entrance. So yeah, good day. So hey, a few quick things as well. Keep us in your prayers. We'll be flying back home on Sunday evening, literally leaving at midnight. And with time change, it's probably going to be about an 11-hour flight or something. But should be back in New York City on Monday morning. Looking forward to a great Christmas season in New York, back in New England. Let me mention again, I've got a brand new book out called Alive, How to Experience the Resurrection Power of Jesus, available on Amazon as Kindle or a paperback. So, boom. From a chapter in that book as well. So let me talk real quick about Zoe. I mentioned this on the video yesterday, but the Bible has several words. I believe there are 4 words that are used when the Bible speaks about life. Now, the Bible speaks about life just in a sort of general sense, like something that's alive, a dog or a cat is alive. The Bible speaks about life in terms of just a manner of life. The Bible speaks about life like lifestyle that we would translate more as culture or a way in which a community of people live. But there's also a Bible word for life that is the word Zoe, which only ever refers to God's life. And At some level, when in biblical language, for the word life, there are three levels of life. There's life in the way a dog and a cat and a plant or a fish and a bird is alive. There's a different level of life in the way that human beings are alive. It's interesting. I was in a service last night and somebody made the comment about the sanctity of life. And it just sort of triggered something. I began thinking about what does that word sanctity come from? I mean, it literally comes from that which is sacred. And, you know, at a basic level, it's interesting, you know, even atheists would talk about the sanctity of life. But when an atheist talks about the sanctity of life, what they're really saying is life is sacred. Life is that which is holy. Life which is that which is other. Life which is that which is like with a holy Bible, a holy site. We're in the Holy Land today and life is holy. And then there's this word Zoe, which is used of God's life, which is completely different as well. God's life is life that cannot die. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without Him was nothing made that was made. And then it says, in Him, in Jesus, in the Word was life. And that life was the light of men. You know, later this afternoon we'll be at the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. And it's really interesting, you know, people leave the Torah, the scriptures, literally see books on little stands all over the place, and people come and are literally sort of praying to the living word, or at least the level of revelation of that living word. And Jesus, the word, the book, the truth, the Torah, the aura, the light that they have became flesh and was tabernacled and dwelt among us. And literally here at Jerusalem, that life, you know, in a sense, God's life can't die. Nothing can conquer it. Nothing can put it out. Nothing can stamp it out. But God chose to lay down His life in Jesus that we might have that same resurrection life. And really, being a Christian isn't about believing in a set of propositions. Being a Christian isn't about wearing a cross. It isn't about going to church or tithing. It isn't really about believing you go to heaven when you die. Being a Christian is about being a resurrected one. It's about literally being an alive person. Yeah. You know, when you come to Jesus, you get new life. Not a new way of living. That's the other word, but you literally get new life. Like when a baby is born, it is alive. It doesn't know it's alive, and yet everybody around it knows it's alive. When you become a Christian, the main thing that happens to you is God puts Zoe life on the inside of you. Come on, I'll finish with this today, but I think so often we as Christians, we've looked at eternal life as this thing that happens to you one day bye-bye in the sky when you die, and that's not the point at all. Really, eternal life is what you get the moment you're born again. You step out of darkness into light. You step out of death into life. So you have eternal life if you're a Christian right now. The Zoe life of God is in you right now. And I think we've got to learn about that life. I think we have it, but it's faith that brings it from heaven to the earth and brings it into our experience. So you've got God's life in you today. Hey, I'm going to be back with another video tomorrow. I'm going to finish my Turkish coffee in Jerusalem. So have a great day wherever you are at. Drop me a line and bless you. Shalom from Jerusalem. Bye for now.